We're heading into what's supposed to be the final week of the legislative session, and I'm joined this morning by State House reporter Janine Beck to talk about what's ahead. Good morning, Janine.
Good morning, Sarah.
So what has to get done before legislators can adjourn?
Well, the really only must-do bills are the seven budget bills and the so-called standings bill, which is a cleanup bill that fixes any problems from legislation they already adopted. And lawmakers are putting together a $5.3 billion budget, so it does take some substantial time. Minority Republicans are using debate time to criticize how this austere budget basically will raise local property taxes because schools and mental health services are underfunded. And they're also opposing new caps placed on business tax credits. So debate's taking time. Beyond that, I think most policy bills, if they're not ready, are going to get dumped overboard pretty quickly in order to get out. One notable exception, however, is gun legislation that many of us presume dead. Senate Majority Leader Mike Gronstall has revived a bill that standardizes the issuance of gun permits from county to county. Currently, sheriffs have the authority to deny a permit even if you meet all of the criteria. This would take that discretion away. Gronstall says it really doesn't make sense to have 99 different standards across the state. This has the backing of the NRA. But critics say local sheriffs know their residents best and know when they should and shouldn't issue a permit. So we'll see if this has legs at the end of the session.
And what's the reason for the shortened session this year? Is it just to save, you know, state money, or is there another reason?
Well, largely it was because they wanted to save money. Now, as the end is in sight, it's partly because they want to get on the campaign trail. There are 25 seats up for re-election in the Senate, 19 held by Democrats, 6 held by Republicans, and both sides have fielded a full slate of candidates. Republicans feel pretty confident that they might pick up a seat or two. However, because the Democrats have a strong majority in the Senate, it's unlikely Republicans will take control. Now, the House is a different story and rather interesting. All 100 seats, obviously, up for re-election. Democrats hold a much slimmer majority and seem to be having more difficulty than Republicans in recruiting candidates. They have recruited about 70 candidates for about 70 of the districts. Republicans have recruited candidates for 80 of the districts. And Democrats say the problem is that it's very difficult to encourage people to come serve in the legislature during a tough economy when their job is to come down, slash budgets, and make people angry. And also, redistricting is coming up. After the 2010 census count, some of these districts may change. And do you really want to serve 2 years and then find out you're facing a really tough re-election because your seat has changed? And many people say no.
Okay, the Government Oversight Committee last week had a couple of days of hearings on some allegations of misuse of taxpayer dollars by the Iowa Association of School Boards. That's supposed to start again this week. Who do they want to talk to this week?
Yeah, that's right. Hearing today. They have sent letters to the executive director who's on paid leave, Maxine Kilcrease. She's accused of increasing her salary without board approval and also stonewalling a private audit. They also want to hear from the acting executive director and the board members and the attorney. And also the chief financial officer, the one accused of paying for tickets to Bora Bora on a company credit card. Now, these people may or may not show up. The attorney general has granted the committee subpoena power. So if these people don't respond, the committee could take action and compel them to come.
And so what do they want to find out, and what can they do with that information?
You know, there's not a lot they can do. I talked to the co-chair, Rich Olive, and he says he thinks they serve two functions. One, to help put sunshine on the investigation in case there's a criminal investigation. Maybe DCI or state investigators will learn something from these hearings. Two, they could figure out if they need to write new legislation to prevent this from happening again. For example, they've attached an amendment to a budget bill that says in the future, the Iowa Association of School Boards will have to comply with the state's open meetings law, hoping that that would pour some sunshine on the process. But Senator Olive says one thing that is interesting. He's hearing from a lot of teachers and local school boards who are saying, yes, we're concerned that there was misdeeds. However, this has been a very worthwhile organization that has provided us a lot of resource. Don't dissolve it. So we'll hear some of that this week.
Something else we heard about a lot last week was the texting and driving issue, and that's gone through a series of changes. Where does that stand, and how likely is it to finally be passed?
Well, legislative leaders say they do want something on the books before they adjourn, and one of the reasons is they don't want 900 different city ordinances on texting, because some communities are looking at this because they consider it a public safety issue. So they are looking for a compromise before they go home. We'll likely pass something. The compromise on the table right now says you can't send or read a text behind the wheel. Teenage drivers with those restricted licenses can't use the cell phone at all. The one caveat is this would be what's called a secondary offense. Law enforcement couldn't pull us over for texting, but if they pull us over for another traffic violation and find we were texting, they can ding us.
I've been speaking with Janine Beck, State House reporter for Iowa Public Radio. Thank you, Janine.
Thank you, Sarah.